This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
God, I am so delighted to bring you the only Drag Race podcast on the internet. This is the only place you can hear about what's happening in drag and gay culture. If you look at Instagram, you won't find anything. And we're the only people talking about this show, which is fun, stupid, fabulous. You're listening to Drag Her. I'm so excited to have our guest with us. She's a writer, producer, actress, genius. Oh, true icon
slut.
Of comedy.
Don't
slut.
Miss the opportunity to call whore. Me a big slut whore.
You're a whore, you're a slut, you're a skank, and I
yep.
love you for it.
Slut Jamie. Shame me.
Jamie Denbo.
Yay.
You slut. I tried to shame you and it didn't stick. It just slid right off of you.
I know. I'm a slippery slut.
Yeah, like water off a duck's back, drag reference. Okay.
Ayo. I said what I said.
I said. Jamie, I am so delighted you're here. I'm gonna talk Drag Race, but even before that, I just want to tell you, like, I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you about this, but like, you've done comedy for a long time.
It's okay, we can talk about it. She old now, y'all.
She old.
She old. That would be the bit in my roast. It'd be like me and Rue, like fucking old snatch bitches.
Just snapping turtles who refuse to pass on at the age of 200.
It's true. That's how
it's real.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I want to tell you about, speaking of roasts, I saw a show of yours 100 years ago that was so strange and funny. It was a show at UCB. You had Bai Ling as a guest.
Yes, I remember
and
that. Yes,
do you
Rana
remember
and
this?
Oh, of course. It's hard to forget when you come up real close to Bai Ling. I mean, she's just, as I recall.
Yes.
Because I don't really remember it very well, but I know that it was such a, by the way, if I know you can't see this at home, but if you see me, I have a puppy on the other end of this string.
Yes, I could tell. It's
and
a telltale
tug. And so it looks insane.
Tug.
It looks like, like I'm masturbating off camera, but I'm not.
Yes.
It's just, I'll show the document.
That's
but
a shame.
I know.
You it's slut.
What if I have Bai Ling on the other end of this rope? Here's what's crazy. Bai Ling lives in my closet, which, by the way, would not be off the mark because she's just such a weird fucking beautiful
she
Asian
is
unicorn.
Weird. So
yeah.
You were in character and she didn't get it, I guess
no.
we'll say for the people listening. You were in character and she felt very attacked. She thought
yes.
you were making fun of her.
I believe that was how it went down, yeah.
That's what I recall.
Right. I used to do a show called Rana and Beverly. I was Beverly and that happened a few times. I mean, it normally didn't happen with performance artists, as I will frame the Bai Ling of it all.
Uh-huh.
It normally happened with Jewish men who could not separate us from their mothers. So they were just genuinely furious that
some
we
projection
were,
was going on.
Oh my God. Straight Jewish men were enraged because that it just it hit them in their heart of like the where everything they wanted to forget by being wherever it is.
And yeah. I would assume they would be the most in on the joke, but they got
Ooh.
Triggered.
Furious. Enraged.
Wow.
Or when we
And
or,
like comedians.
Oh, yeah. Mark Maron was not happy.
Wow.
I mean, he calmed down, but like he used to get very triggered by us.
How
And there,
fucking
there were a
funny.
Few people. And actually, you know who loved us, though, was what's his name? Jeff Garlin thought it was very entertaining. But there were some. There was who's that guy? I can't remember his name. Oh, Michael Musto.
Okay.
The New York Times, he was couldn't have it. There was another guy, Elon Gold, not into
couldn't
us.
Figure
just
it
like,
out.
No. It was
Even
too
though
much
you're
for them.
On stage at a small comedy theater.
Yeah, no. It was just annoying to them. It was just like, I don't get it. Like, I've already been traumatized by you two before. Like, it's just in my life. So that was very... And the other time the act would not work was when they had us perform for actual Ranas and Beverlys. Like, women who were these women.
Uh-huh.
They
too would close. Look at us.
Yeah, well, they just were like, or they would think we were doing all of their friends and not them specifically. They were like, isn't it funny? You really nailed Cheryl. And I'm like, well, Maureen, we also, let's be real clear, not just Maureen. Cheryl. Look in the mirror.
My friend Cheryl's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed her, you know? And so it got chuckles from them because they were just like, you know, I don't get it. I don't know why it's so funny. To me, I don't get it. You know
That's
what I mean? Like,
really funny.
It was funny.
Too close. Didn't work.
No.
You weren't, it wasn't aspirational enough. It was just.
No, which is, I think part of the reason I love, here's an amazing segue, Mono.
Oh,
check this
work.
Out. Check this
you
out.
Better fucking
here's
work, you slut.
One of the reasons I love drag. Because there's no mistaking that there is artistry. It's not a subtle art.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to go as far as to say that Rana and Beverly were subtle in any way, but apparently we were subtle enough for people to, like, you know, be unable to separate the like.
Interesting. Violently. I would say Beverly is drag. Like, there's
Yeah,
absolutely, just insane.
Oh my god.
The arugula slamming. You know
where'd
what I
you
mean?
Do your teeth? Where'd you get your videos? They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. They're actually my own. I had an orthodontist.
What's your ethnicity that you have teeth like that?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's really complicated. Greek, Palestinian.
Oh, that's Palestinian. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's a choice that you make. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, listen.
That's drag.
Beverly still lives inside. Deep,
that
deep
is
and
drag. Well, I mean, we were talking just a little bit before, and you're saying you've seen a couple seasons of Drag Race.
Oh yes, and
what brought you in?
You know, I mean, I'd always known. I've always been a fan of. I've always been aware of RuPaul. And ultimately, what happened was I created a show that was nobody saw called American Princess, and we had an amazing writers' room full of like absolute divas and gay friendly human beings who were all like.
Where was it on? What TV channel?
It was
on
Lifetime, which normally is not known for its, you know, cool and funny programming. So you can see it on Amazon, the one season. It's a
one
season wonder.
I haven't seen it, but the idea is incredible. I was just looking you up and I was like, this idea is incredible.
And I will say, thank you. First of all, thank you. Second of all, what I will say, I'll give you my 2 second thing on. So when I was 22, I got a job working at a Renaissance festival. Me, Jamie Denver.
Oh,
I got a job.
Yes.
I did not know what a Renaissance festival was. This was before Google. And I had auditioned in a cattle call for like summer stock programs. Cause I was like, I should go act for the summer, but I was not a conservatory trained actor. I sucked. I knew a little bit of improv. That's what I did in college.
Right.
That and smoked weed and watched movies and pretended that it was important and got a film degree.
That's my training too, honestly.
Yeah. It's a real waste of my parents' money. So I did that and I was like, but I want to go play for the summer. And so I auditioned and I got this job at a Renaissance festival because it was all improv for audition. For the audition. And I was like, okay, well, I can do that. I get the brochure and I'm like, oh, there's corsets and shit. I thought it's Shakespeare in the Park is what I thought. I didn't understand what a Renaissance festival was. It wasn't as much in the culture, whatever it was 27 years ago. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go because this is like the only job offer I got. I drive up there and I'm such a Jap. I'm like a Jewish American princess. I'm driving my borrowed daddy's Mercedes, like drove up there, get there. And I'm like, this is not Shakespeare in the Park. I don't know what the fuck this is.
There's no stage.
Like, these are grownups and they live out of like Airstreams and they're clowning. And there is some Shakespeare, but there's also a lot of improv. And then there's turkey legs. And then there's also just a lot of humans living like they're in the circus, but it's a circus that has no high tech. I was like, what is happening?
Just a lot of soiled bustiers.
Yeah. And a lot of beer and a lot of body drunken drinking songs. I love that the sea shanties really made a comeback. Let me tell you something. I was on that shit 25 years ago. So it was,
there should be a Renfair challenge on Drag Race, but keep going.
Okay. Yes, there should be.
There
I couldn't agree more. Support. Yes. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, there were big costumes. There was big, it was adults playing. And I was so fascinated and so impacted by this experience early on in my adulthood. And I went back and worked there a couple more summers, but I also took the experience with me because I could not let go of how I was like, this is so unlikely that someone who grew up the way I did with the nice Jewish girl in the suburbs of Boston would wind up at a Renaissance festival. And it just, to me, my biggest impactful film was Private Benjamin, right? Here's a Jap who runs up in the army. I was like, Private Benjamin at the Renaissance Festival. So it was a story I've wanted to tell for all these years.
Yeah.
I finally got to tell it. Of course, we told it on like the world's shittiest network. Sorry, Lifetime. I said it. And
sorry.
Also, like, they wanted to get out of scripted television, but they wanted to work with Jenji Kohan. It was sort of a gift to her. But what the gift was to me is, even though they didn't promote it, nobody watched it, I got to make the show I wanted to make, which is this lovely little 10-episode run of a Jap that winds up at a Ren fair, slightly changed. She runs away from her wedding. But it's the same feel. So you've got these wild, fucked up characters that are grown-ups but live like children in this crazy, weird environment. And you've got, you know, a stand-in for Goldie Hawn, kind of like going, this is crazy. You guys need better skincare. So it's fun.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And now can we see it on like the Lifetime app
something? No, I don't fucking know about the Lifetime app, but I know that you can pay $20, which really sucks, but also think about the joy you get.
I mean, that is worth it. Just on iTunes.
Yeah. On iTunes. But on Amazon. Amazon Prime. You can buy it for $20 and it's a good binge. And it's super fun. And there's some amazing people on it. Rory O'Malley, who was Tony nominated for Book of Mormon. He plays our Shakespeare. He's also like done the run of, he was my favorite story about him is he played King George in the Hamilton that was for Pence.
Yeah.
So he was there standing alone on stage. When whole thing.com.
That whole moment.
Bananas. He talks about it in some, you can find podcasts where he talks about it. He's amazing. Rory O'Malley. We've got guest spots from like comedy people like Fortune Femster and Steve Agee and Rob Corddry and Natasha Leggero. And then there's just like, you know, of course my husband, John Ross Bowie shows up in episode two.
Lovely,
so total
genius.
Nepotism, a total
wonderful
nepotism.
Genius. Love him.
It's an amazing, oh, Mary Hollis Inboden, who actually is, you're going to fall in love with her new show called Kevin Can Fuck Himself, which shows up in AMC this summer, starring Annie Murphy. I'm a real one woman PR machine, but anyway, it's a fun binge. Go for $20. American Princess.
That is 100% worth it. I will. That is drag. You're from New York, so you
super gay friendly show too, by the way. It's super fun. I'm actually from the Boston area.
Oh, okay.
My whole point though is that the writer's room for American Princess was all about Drag Race. So I went in hard and I have not looked back. And I have now been to multiple drag cons with my children. Do you know when the pandemic shut down? The first thing my children said.
We can't go to DragCon.
We can't go to DragCon. And they were so upset. And I don't have, like, I'm going to tell one story about my son because it's honestly.
Please, I love.
Okay, unfortunately, my son is super fucking straight.
Ugh, that's terrible news. This is too scary.
It's
stop.
A nightmare. It's
too scary.
I can't.
Uh-huh.
So most of the, there are kids at DragCon, but typically they are pretty princess girls or pre-gay boys who are, you know, whatever. What you don't see is, you know, a 9-10-year-old boy walking around in like sweat shorts and a baseball hat, feeling himself to the point where he'll like sit down next to Brooklyn Heights or Evie Oddly and be like, hey, I like your work. And like pose for a picture. And it's like, they don't know what to do. They're just like, oh my God. Like, it's so fucking awesome because he's just in it because he thinks the artistry is so colorful and fun
that's
and delightful.
So fucking cool. He's in a theater house.
I turned around. We were getting our tickets settled. I'm like, where the fuck is my son? I turned around. He had marched up to Ross Matthews and he goes, hey, you're on my favorite episode. He loves Bossy Rossi. And Ross Matthews just goes, well, thank you. And he was just so delighted. And my son just was kind of like, cool, bro. And like walked away. I was like, I've never been prouder. I am raising the best straight boy on the planet. And my daughter, of course, like my daughter's a theater kid. Forget it. Like she, you know, it's makes sense. But anyway, so yes, we are drag as a family. We love,
that's
love, love.
So
it's super fun. Yeah.
I love that you take the kids to DragCon. That
oh
is
my God.
So fucking cool.
Oh,
I mean, I love
pleasure.
That the conversation's changing. I remember as early as like, God, 10 years ago being like, well, I mean, you can't take kids to Pride. Like, I remember having a fight with straight friends who were like, you can't take kids to Pride because they saw Pride as like so overtly sexual, you know?
Like the world? You mean like living in LA? Like
Thank
billboards?
You.
You mean like all the like the Kardashians? What are you talking about?
I'd
rather see it in the context of fucking rainbow flags and like,
I know.
Oh, please, I can't.
That's what I want to talk about, projecting. Just like, I don't have time to deal with your body shame and how like you know, your body's a cage that you're trapped in, but I'm going to live my life. So,
well, you know, I also, my biggest, like one of the things that I think people used to look at me a little cockeyed, but I don't give a shit because it's all worked out so well, is one of our first family viewing, like, this is our appointment television shows as a family, and my kids were young, was mm-hmm. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rachel and the world and she that she and Aline created was so, first of all, the casting, the stories, my kids learned from that show without it being stigmatized about the normalizing all of it. Abortions, mm-hmm. gay relationships, mm-hmm. Bi exploration, gender fluidity, all of it. None of it phases them anymore because they saw it presented in a context of these people are people. Mm-hmm. And then there's stuff that we can talk about that gets addressed sometimes. And then sometimes they're just part of the character action or whatever. It was mm-hmm. a beautiful teaching tool. I'm super proud.
I love that. I'm a huge fan of that. I don't believe in protecting children.
I can't.
I think that's incredible. So you watch Drag Race currently as a family. You're watching 13 yes. together.
Yes.
What's your vibe? What's the family's vibe on season 13?
Okay. Well, I had a really interesting discussion with my daughter. My son was out with my husband, so he hasn't caught up on the last episode.
And how old are they right now?
My daughter is 13. My son is 11.
I love it.
He came in at the end, actually. So he's starting to fall off in his interest level a little, uh-huh. which is very disappointing. But don't worry, we're pressuring him. He definitely gave his opinion. But here's what I said. We had this interesting. I was like, are these four that are left right now, mm-hmm. is it me or are they absolutely representative of like an 80s high school? And my daughter was like,
wow.
Yeah. And we broke it down and we were like, so Rosé is fucking head cheerleader. Like, guess what? Like, she's fucking like, she perfect. Like, I get it. She's perfect, but somehow boring. Like, I can't.
Yes.
And
yes.
she's a little mean, but she's also like, but she's, I'm also good at this shit.
Claire, was it Claire from The Breakfast Club? Is that that character's name?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah,
work. She's Claire.
Yep. She's Claire. Claire.
She brought sushi.
Yes. And then mm-hmm. we were like, okay, so who does that leave us? Okay, so Candy is like fucking, Candy is fucking smoking in the fucking yard and is like, I will cut you. She is a rough bitch from the wrong side of house. She is Judd Nelson.
That's what I mean.
By the way, if she was Judd Hirsch, that would be amazing.
Who's Judd Hirsch?
Judd Hirsch is from Taxi. He's a very old man. Very old man.
I stand by my statement.
Okay, very good. Very good. Also, I have to say, I think Rosé is a little bit Emilio Estevez. Like, she's kind of a jock. You know what I mean?
That is actually a good point.
Jock drag queen, it would be Rosé. Like,
because she is like, I'm the fucking best.
She's the captain of the drag football team. Like, she's just like, okay, bitch. Like, you are. Yeah. You're really good at this.
Wait, I'm really here for this. So then where does that leave?
Okay,
maybe then Got Mick is Claire.
I think Got Mick is interesting.
What do you think?
I think Got Mick, well, I don't know if they correlate exactly with Breakfast Club.
Okay, that's fine. Keep going with the high school thing.
I think Got Mick is like gothy, arty, like fully like president of the drama club. Like, I think she's, I think she's like an aggressively, well, it's interesting because Utica actually, before she left, I was like, she is the most aggressive drama geek I want to, like, and it's triggering for me.
Uh-huh,
like
those, I agree.
Like those drama geeks that were like, so insecure that it went around the corner to being secure and like
totally
oppressive, like a
stage manager in a terrible way.
Stage manager. Gottmik is like kind of in the drama club, but she's the star of every play. So like,
okay, I'm gonna say Ally Sheedy. She's the Sheedy.
A little bit. Which makes Simone the fucking coolest chick. Like, she's mm-hmm. the cool chick. She's basically the Veronica Sawyer. Like, she's the Heathers.
Wow.
She's the
smart.
Okay, we're going to have to just pick these iconic high school characters from a bunch of different movies.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Because I do think that Simone is so fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Simone is super brainy, but she's also sexy. And she's mm-hmm. also, I kind of got to say, like, speaking of this, the emotional breakdowns of the Simone of the late.
Yeah.
I'm so here for them.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
She is just a spectacular human being.
She's incredible. I don't think she's human. I think she's a fucking alien. And I hope that's the reveal in the finale.
I mean, it's a really interesting mix because I know that I'm supposed to be at this point. Okay. I'm supposed to say, right, that how much I love Candy now. Guess what? I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
And you know what? My kids don't either. Okay?
Wow. They
have not forgotten how fucking respectful she was to Tamisha. And I am having trouble letting it go too. I do not think she has apologized, and I'm not ready for it. Like, I'm interested in the reunion because I'm not happy with how it's been.
Ooh, it's going to be a good reunion. It's going to be good.
I'm sick of people not respecting older queens. It pisses me off.
It is exhausting. I am one of those Candy apologists. However, like, I understand my position. Like, at this point, sometimes I feel like a Fox News anchor who's like, trying to spin why she's still worthy of this position. Like,
she's good TV, but she's not fucking TV. Belong in the top four.
That's what I think it is. It's TV. I'm like, my argument would be if this is a TV show, she is an excellent character. I mean, she gave us I Want a Boat. She gave us this moment.
She gave us I Want a Boat. And I have to say, like, when she's kind of dumb, like when she's like doing her like dumb thing, I'm like, I'm here for it. I do love it. And guess what? Like, let me tell you, I'm never going to turn away a fucking Latina princess from New York.
That.
My best friend, fucking Ana Ortiz, who judged on early seasons of Drag Race and is like the greatest. I mean, she's Puerto Rico Boricua from fucking New York. Like, I'm here for the way Candy talks.
Me too.
Like, I'm into it. But I just want her soul to evolve a little bit. Like, I don't like...
She's childish.
How mean she was. She's childish.
She's very childish. And it's, every criticism about her is fair.
Yeah.
Yet there's some part of me, and I think it is like just knowing people like that, I'm like, I keep feeling for her. I do not think she should win, but I'm glad she's there to... I can't think of anyone else who I wanted there instead.
Let's just fucking be real. It's obviously between Gottmik and Simone.
Right?
I'm sorry,
unless they
Rosa.
Gag us. Unless they fucking gag us down.
How? And fucking,
I don't know.
No, it's... Oh, come on. First of all, Rosé is lucky to be exactly where she is. And she kind of deserves it. And it's weird, man. But it's like every time I picture her, I'm like, this bitch is fucking the head cheerleader. And I just want to bring her down. Like, I also, you know what no one has talked about since the very beginning of the season?
What?
Or maybe I read it online. So let me get this straight.
Okay.
Rosé has been a competitor on other reality shows?
Yes. Like America's Got Talent and maybe something else.
And do we know what her skills were and like how far she made it? Like-
I've seen a clip where her, because she's part of this girl group, Stephanie's Child.
With Jan. Who I
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Yes. And they sang, and I think that was it. They were just like a drag singing number. I don't know how far they got, but that was it. It was really the singing thing of like, look, we're doing drag and we can sing.
I think it's so interesting, man. Rosé is such a fucking study. Because here's what's interesting. She said she's only been doing drag for 3 years. That means that like in that time, she has managed to form a singing group.
Right.
Get it on America's Got Talent as a drag artist.
Right.
And... make it this far in Drag Race. Like, she's, I mean, I gotta admire. She's like fucking an Olympic skater.
Truly, it's like a graduate school level focus for drag.
She should open a school. She could be the headmistress of like the graduate program of these are the skills. Like, it's
she
sort
could
of,
be the Xavier who's just wheeling around her own damn
God.
Drag school.
Oh,
just
so
teaching, taking in little queer children who have a gift.
And eating them for lunch. I mean, she could be. She could be like the what's her face in Matilda, like the Turnbull. Just like,
oh,
and not,
yes.
Like, I mean, I have to say, actually, that's hilarious. She probably would make it. A Trunchbull.
She'd be good.
That's
Trunchbull.
A drag role. She could play that on Broadway. She wants
she
to
could.
Be on Broadway. She'd be great.
100% agree with this cheerleader thing. She's so good. Yeah. But it's my baggage. It's definitely my baggage of being a fucking loser. I'm like, I can't root for you.
No.
Because you're attractive, you're talented, you're good at what you say you're good at. I need a little bit more texture for me to want you to win.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting the sort of how these queens how they navigate the humanity that they show. And don't show. And You know, it's so interesting. Like, I know that it's sort of controversial. I actually kind of loved the COVID special that they did.
Oh, okay. Controversial.
Right?
Yeah.
First of all, show me anything with these guys. I'm totally into it. Like, I'm so interested in seeing their journey. And I also, like, I was so manipulated. I don't know if I was having my period. I was, like, crying during the whole thing. I was like, this is so meaningful. And I was watching with my daughter trying to turn the whole thing into a teachable moment. I'm like, look how they've persevered. Look at Rosé's nurse husband. Look at that teaching. And I just think it was also a moment where we sort of saw them with their competition mask off a little, maybe. And the humanity that they all sort of had in those moments. I don't know. I feel
that's
like
beautiful.
Look, I don't say anything if not beautiful statements, Mana.
Beautiful, beautiful words from a total slut.
I'm a dirty whore. Can we talk about the Lucky video?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Let's talk. Okay. Wait. Is there anything that I will attempt to talk about the episode, but nothing really happens except maybe we should talk about the podcast moment first, which is no longer a podcast because now they're doing like inside Drag Race as opposed to Rue's podcast. Remember when Rue used to do a podcast?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Do we have anything to say about these little tender moments that she has with each of them?
Well, you know? Look, here's what I find always interesting is like, I think it's got to be so. It's a little like the Oprah thing, right? Or maybe not. Uh-huh. But like, you worship this person. You worship RuPaul. I still think as a person with a conscience and a heart that it's incredibly stupid and unnecessary to make them choose the competitor that's going to leave. Okay,
I
think
right.
it's obviously a reality show trope. That's what happens. Like you have to add that part into the fucking voting off the island. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, get it. It is so fucking cruel to do that. To stir shit up with these people, with these delicate creatures. Mm-hmm. And then to go from having been forced to do that in one episode, 1 week, to having to trust this person in an intimate podcast setting it's a mind fuck. Okay. Yes. It's just a mind fuck. I want to get that out there. And now I want to say, yes.
It is a psychological experiment of the greatest madness. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's so crazy. I think it's so funny how delighted Rue is by Gottmik.
So delighted.
Laugh. Yeah. It makes me really, one small step for trans community, one giant leap for trans community. I mean, it's pretty fucking rad.
It's so great. Gottmik is such an incredible example of excellence. And like, I'm really thrilled that Gottmik is there being fucking incredible because it's like, we could have had so many, we've had amazing trans contestants in the past. But
Gottmik is really very specific about how he and she, depending on, I guess, how she wants to be addressed in various moments, but how she is able to articulate the idea, a very simple idea of some people aren't definable and you don't have to, you just don't worry about putting everybody in a box. Like
you have. When you say fuck you to the box.
The joy. Like, the fact that she's so young and she is so self-assured. Mm-hmm. And she's a really, like, I hate to say, but she's, like, a wonderful leader in the movement. Like, she's just going to go very, very far with this. And I think in a very positive way. She's
it
managed
so
to do
true.
That despite all the pitfalls of being on a reality show.
Oh, my God. And so, and she seemed to have fun in the process, which
I mean,
is like true. Like, I buy it. I'm buying it. I'm not like, okay, you're
she's having the best time of her life. And I'm a little bit like, yeah, because clearly you've had a fucking struggle. There's no question. Even if you come from the most supportive family in the world. And where's she from? Somewhere stupid, like Albuquerque.
Yeah. Somewhere dumb and stupid.
Oh my God.
I don't know, but it's fascinating to be like, wow, I guess this is like a really great testament to like focusing on your art. Cause it felt like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he was so prepared with what he brought that, like, when he got to perform, it was like, holy shit, you're just like, I don't know. It just feels like it's like everyone else is playing football, but you're playing tic-tac-toe. Like, it almost seems effortless for Gottmik.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. So fun. And if you want to see a fun, crazy video, you can see the video of Gigi Gorgeous, who's another trans YouTube celebrity. Are you familiar with Gigi?
Wait, not Gigi Good.
No, Gigi Gorgeous is her friend who is a trans woman who paid for her top surgery. And there's a YouTube video of it, of going to get the surgery and stuff. And it's
no
pretty
way.
Great.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, it's so interesting sometimes when you know, Rue, I don't think Rue shows her age as that often. Sometimes mm-hmm. I think we get these moments where we see them, and I think we could see them a little bit, like you see them a little bit in these more intimate settings. Like you see mm-hmm. her kind of like looking at these creatures going like, I love, like, there's a joy. She's like, I'm in good hands. I'm passing the torch in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get that from her experience with Gottmik. Yeah. I also love that we got to the bottom of Gottmik's name, because I'm not going to lie. Like, at first I was not pleased with the name Gottmik. It did not roll off my
tongue.
It's
a strange name.
It's odd, but I get it now and I kind of like it. Now I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It's not anything. It's like him. It's right. All things. It's its own thing.
But the fact that now, okay, and I want to hear what you think. The fact that Gottmik didn't choose milk when she was marketing herself blows my gourd off.
It's weird. I don't know. It had to have been a very intentional choice. Like, she
maybe.
Must have said, like, people will remember it because it's like got milk.
Yeah.
But
I don't do dairy.
Right. Precise. That. Exactly. Or maybe it was like, is it a breast milk thing? Like, I don't want to bring attention to the breast thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
There could have been many, many routes in that.
These are all pretty much classic, the Tic Tac thing. I will say this. I'm surprised no one's done a finale look that's a dress made out of Tic Tacs yet. Oh, why haven't we done that?
Don't know. That I don't know. It's
Come
super
on.
Weird. It's super
Soup.
Weird. It's a perfect idea. I also want to say that, like, Gottmik, I mean, whatever. It's just so boring for you. And here's something, a real hot take. Gottmik's fashion's amazing. I don't know if anyone else thinks
close
that.
Close the library. Library's closed.
It's over. I said it. It's all been said. But really, the watches was just so fucking beautiful and stunning.
Know.
It was everything. That look was everything.
Was that your favorite look
yes.
of Gottmik's?
Yes,
uh-huh.
It was. I mean, I love uh-huh. them all. I really love them all. I just thought it was so smart. I mean, there are
There's
times
so
when I'm watching that
ones.
Show and I hear the theme and I get mad at myself because I'm like, I can't think of anything good.
Right.
And then they come out with something and I'm like, oh man, so that was really brilliant.
Her beast might be one of my favorites of hers with the teeth dress and the eyeballs.
It was amazing.
Fuck off.
She's amazing. She's beautiful,
incredible.
Beautiful artist.
She's
I mean,
incredible.
In every way. I think Simone.
Her talking head, her moment. I mean, her talk with Rue.
Yeah. I mean, to watch her like have a truly transformative like aha moment of
mm-hmm.
oh, I can be confident at all times. Like
yeah.
it's a journey we're all familiar with, but I like
Here's
it in the present.
Gag.
Yes, tell me.
What okay, right. It's Gottmik or Simone in every world. And
yeah.
if I don't believe anyone telling me otherwise, how do I put this? How in the world I don't even know how I'm going to feel it when one wins and one doesn't. Like, this has been the first time where I'm like, crown mm-hmm. them both, even though I don't believe in double crownings. Who do you, out of these two, who do you really want to win?
Fuck. I guess Simone. And
I think
only because, I don't know why. I think I would like to, this comes down to who I want to hang out with, I think.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's all. And by the way, I would want to hang out with both of them. But
yes.
it's like, but if I was like going to have like a really fucking fun afternoon and not feel pressured to be like the coolest.
Right.
That much lower on the Simone.
That's a fun point. Like with Simone, you can kind of like, I don't know, burp a little bit more. Scratch
oh my
your
God.
Ass.
Oh my God. I just feel like we would have a lot of, I feel like she'd be very, a little bit easier to hang out with. I'd be a little intimidated by Gottmik.
Yeah.
And not, by the way, like only by an inch. None
yeah.
of this is like, you know, but that's what it all comes down to is just this personal thing, I guess.
I love it. You
and
I hear her say victory.
And listen, oh my God, yes. And I, you know, here we're talking about candy and now I'm thinking about candy. I can't help it. I'm thinking about candy. I kind of liked her explanation for her name. I do think,
uh-huh.
you know, I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking like, do I really hate her that much? I don't actually. I think She's
this
gonna
is
be
her
a
weird
huge
magic.
Star.
She's gonna be a huge star. This is her weird magic, and I'm gonna say something. Unlike Silky Nutmeg Ganache,
ugh.
who did lose me, who like, lost me.
Because she was, yeah, I'll get into that in a minute.
Go on. Yeah, she lost me. That's it. And Candy has something that keeps me coming back for more.
Yeah.
I just like her. And the fact that she knows she's delusional is just that little drop of self-awareness where I'm like, this is okay. This is fun again.
That's what it is. Yeah. I'm telling you, Silky had none of that.
Yeah.
She did not have that self-awareness. She refused. And I have to tell you, here's what's interesting. I do think that it's interesting that the process of going through Drag Race does humble them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they were all incredibly smart and grateful and except for Rosé. But like they seem to have definitely have this like appreciation for what the changes that they've gone through. Mm-hmm. And I will argue that if Candy has learned anything, it's that she, when she acknowledges that she's a little crazy and delusional, she wins us over. And I think you're 100% right. Whereas Silky, fucking forget it. And Silky, please, sloppy. She was sloppy with her outfits. And like sloppy. Even Candy, like when she's sloppy, she's like, yeah, that was sloppy.
Right. Where she's like, yeah, this is I'm wearing a tire fire of an outfit. This oh is disgusting.
God. Brilliant.
Okay, well, we're going to talk more about this Lucky video right after this break. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'. Come on, y'all. We've all been there. We want to spend a little bit of extra dough on a big night out or a last minute gift for like your boo. Sometimes money just can be, dare I say, complicated. Well, worry not, because Earnin' helps you get your money today as opposed to later. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know, wake up, because Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. You can get up to $100 per day or $750 per pay period. Earnin' is used by over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin', I think about financial stability. So why don't you go ahead and download Earnin' today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin' app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Get some extra dough. Have a little fun. And don't wait for your employer to give you your money, honey. Earnin' is subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin' is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/draghur today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/draghur. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Bring back my break. Oh,
bring back my Jew. That's me.
Bring back my Jew.
Here
honestly,
I am.
Bring back my Jew.
Here she is.
Okay, what did we think about Lucky? Obviously, we don't have to talk about the rehearsal. Rehearsal montages are the same.
No, it is. This is what I always get from the rehearsal montage. Ooh, yeah. Glad I'm not a dancer. Like, that's it. Like, I watch them. I'm like, fucking forget it. Like, apparently I cannot count to eight. That's what I learned from every rehearsal.
And apparently, yeah, the count starts at five, not one. Doesn't start at one.
It just looks like more math than I'd ever be prepared for.
Terrible. Yeah, the new game I play is which guy do I want to fuck the most?
100%.
Yeah, that's it
for
me.
And it comes down to Jamal Sims.
Oh, Jamal Sims with those shiny titties.
He is, baby.
He's
insane. Like,
he's gorgeous.
He is stunningly gorgeous.
I saw him in person, too, and he's, like, even hotter in person.
How tall is he?
Tall. He's like, if I'm going to guess correctly, I'm going to say 6'1", 6'2".
Oh, that's just perfect.
I was tall enough.
I was afraid that it was going to be like, he's cute, but he's real small.
And he wears crazy clothes in public that you're like, that should not count, but you look great in it.
I'm sure he does.
You know, when the jeans are like half jean, half parachute pants. And you're like, what the fuck are you wearing? And you're like, you look good.
He's beautiful. He is a beautiful human being.
Oh,
I could
love
watch
him.
His demos all day.
I would love to slip and slide on his body, just back and just.
Oh, why not? Slide down that thing.
Slide
down.
He is
so cute. And I have to say, I mean, look, it's always a weird quote unquote competition when it's a music video because, I mean, there's so much cutting in it that you're clearly going to make it. It was so delightful. That song is so cute.
It was.
It's a bop. I was.
Yes. And at first I was like, what genre is this? Then I'm like, I guess I don't care.
No, you know what genre it is? It's the cherished genre of Madonna. It's like where you go, what is that?
What?
Oh, shit, I like
You're
it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like Goody Two Shoes. Like also, it's like, oh, it's that genre. It's that weird song that they do that's kind of a throwback.
Whoa.
And I like it. That's what it is.
There's a weird Lady Gaga song in that category that's There's Nothing Else I Can Say.
Okay.
I don't know if you know the song.
It's they always throw one in. They're just
cherry,
like,
cherry, boom, boom. Yeah.
It's, exactly.
It's very, what genre is this? But I guess I'm having fun. It was delightful.
Oh, they were all so watchable.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to rank them in this.
Yes. I think I have a top two in
Interesting.
This.
Interesting.
And it's controversial.
Ooh. Oh,
so,
shit.
Okay, I'll just say I think Gottmik and Rosé did the best.
Absolutely.
Great.
But I agree with you. Gottmik, first of all, Gottmik 100 was number one. There's no question. Like Gottmik, that was... First of all, if you think about it for 1 second, imagine, take away everything else. Now you're just watching Gottmik do the Lucky video.
Right.
Someone walks in from an alien from a spaceship comes in and is like, huh, like looking at what you're looking at, going like, there are so many ways to explain what's happening here. And none of them will make any sense. There's a story behind every piece of this frame.
Yes.
It was so delightfully bizarre in every way. Mm-hmm. If you think about like just the choreography, her waist was like, I'm still confused by how the dimensions of how that happened. I mean,
I think she had pulled in and extra padding and it looked all crazy and lovely.
I mean, I thought she had ribs removed before the week was out.
Maybe.
That was crazy. Her makeup, her dancing was so on point and so good. And it was interesting because Jamal also said that thing about how people have to, in her rehearsal moment, when he was like, some people have to use the lyrics as their guide. And I was like, well, that would be me because I don't apparently know how to count. So, yes, stunning. Rosé, I have to go back and watch it again because I was so blown away by how good the whole thing was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was also like waiting to see someone really fuck up because they weren't going to. But I was also like, I guess Candy was great. She did
Candy
a great job.
I did think she could have done better.
She can't smile. She literally, she was trying, she was concentrating so hard. That's
yeah, and I
what
wanted
I
her
saw.
Lyrics to be better. I like went back and looked at the lyrics and I was like, these can be better.
Yeah,
it was everything was kind of just a synonym. Like, I am in the top four and I'm also at the end of the competition. And also, here.
She couldn't add like 2 + 3. I mean, we're lucky that she's got, you know, sentences that have a subject and a predicate.
Yeah, she was the least good to me, but she still did good.
And what's interesting is like, then I was like, oh, wait, was Simone good? And then I was like, Simone was good. She was good too. Like when she sort of did that very vampy, like move at the beginning, I was like, oh my God. And they all looked so gorgeous. And somehow they all captured, you're right though, especially Gottmik and Rosé. They captured the essence. Like Rosé had that little ruffled booty short, like the little pink ruffles. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I don't even know if I like what Rosé gives, but that's what Rosé gives.
And when Rosé was like, I'm going to rap, I was like, okay, cool. Bye.
Everyone who saw that was like, please don't. Please do not. You are a white Broadway bitch. Please don't rap. Don't say that you rap. Don't say that it's gone well. Like, I don't believe you. And then what the fuck?
It was fucking good. It was, I mean, it was alliterative syncopation. It was really fucking good. And I am harsh on her.
Oh my God. We're all harsh on Rosé because Rosé is a monster. Like, she's not a nice, she's not a nice person. I think we all agree that she's a terrible, she is a fucking head cheerleader. She will cut you in the bathroom. She will steal your cigarettes. She's not nice.
She definitely like stole someone's spot in a Titanic lifeboat. Do you know what I mean?
It's almost like, by the fact, okay, that she is raised in apparently a super supportive, loving family. Like this bitch is like, I mean, she is like the blonde monster in a John Hughes movie. And like her family is also functional. Like it's crazy. So her flaw that we all hate is that she's too perfect. Mm-hmm. And she's a bitch. Yeah. She's a bitch. She's not
nice.
I don't
want to
hang out with her.
We're going to keep doing high school movies.
She also has these lips, Mono. She's got a little filler on the side.
Oh, they're juiced. Where,
too much juice. So there's not juice in the middle. And it looks like labia on the side. She's got labia.
So you love it.
Top labia lip. Top labia lip. Right there. And I see it. I noticed it from the first fucking moment she walked out. I wasn't about the brows and the Neanderthal or anything. I was like, oh, she got too much filler right there. Right there.
Well, you know she's going to be extra pumped next time we see her at this reunion finale, which they're doing, you know, in person.
Are they? Because the preview looked like they were on Zoom.
I mean, there's just been some photos shared online of them occupying.
Mono,
occupying
do you want to hear something? A very fun fact about me that people are going to absolutely love.
Yes.
I am really not on social media much these days. So you,
love.
So I was kidding. It's the most boring thing about me. I've stopped scrolling through Instagram because it was ruining my life like a year ago.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I talk about it with my therapist. It's terrible.
Yeah. So I don't do it anymore. So I miss out on a lot of these things, but I love that you're reporting because now I can go and find the specific photos.
Yes, they are definitely filming at the stage that is the Ace
Hotel
in downtown
LA. Two other fun facts about me that are not about me. One of them's about me. My husband for my birthday got me a birthday cameo from Jackie Cox, which was the cutest thing ever. I love her.
She's great.
And the other thing was that my husband is now like kind of friendly with Gigi Good because he was John, my husband recurs on that show Generation.
Oh, I fucking love that show. And Gigi Good does the pod.
Correct. She does the pod. And I guess Gigi like might show up in an episode coming up.
Okay,
soon.
Work.
So they like, when we found out that it was Gigi, we were like, you should be friends with her. So that happened. So we may have forced that to happen. So that's exciting.
Oh, that's fucking cool. How exciting.
Yeah. Very.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I didn't mean to take you away from Lucky. Video.
Nothing. Lucky. But what else would I want to say about that? Yeah, Simone was pretty good. She could have been a little better, but whatever.
But she's not a dancer, man. She's not a dancer and she's not a singer. So like, you know, they all have their strengths. Apparently Rosé has all of the strengths.
She is Regina George.
Thank you. She's Regina George.
It's going to be... It's just hard to not want to push her in front of a fucking bus. You know, you're like, ugh.
Well, I mean, that's the reaction. How can we not? That's what we want to do. Of course, that's what we want to do.
So in this story, who is Katie Heron? Is it Gottmik or is it Simone? Is it Gottmik or is it Simone? Because Candy is clearly the dumb
Candy
Amanda
is the
Seyfried.
Candy is Amanda Seyfried.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, well, here's just one hypothetical let's talk about.
It's Simone.
It's Simone. I think you're right. But in this world that some people, you know, there's no way to prove this, but some people are like, you know, sometimes one person wins because they want to see more of another person in All Stars or et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone whose story you feel is more complete? Who's like, their stories, we did it. We got the story in the can. Like, kind of like Jada in season 12, who I fucking love and was the rightful winner. Her story was also completed, I feel. Like,
I agree. I agree with you. I agree. That is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's no question they're going to throw Candy in All Stars as soon as this is, like, the minute that the finale ends, they're going to be like, Cassandra up for All Star!
Because
she's just so, you know, such a pain mm-hmm. in the ass. P.S. My boat, Tamisha, will also be in All Stars. So that'll
Fuck
be fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Love.
It's interesting. This is a tough one, man. I think it's hard because these four queens are so different.
Yeah.
You know, Simone and Gottmik are not competing. They're competing for the same title, mm-hmm. but not with the same tools or with the same story. Like, it's hard to say, like, this one's better at drag than this mm-hmm. one. Like, that's not what we're at. Like, that's what makes all of this competition interesting is, like, these are not, yes, everything art is subjective. Okay, on Project Runway, a dress, there's going to be a dress that's better made and better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more definitive. On this, it is very, very hard. I don't know. I cannot answer that question. I think that I actually think that if I put it that way, I guess if it had to be between Simone and Gottmik, Simone's story is more complete because we don't know what the trans queen has left in her story. I mean, mm-hmm. there's chapters and chapters of this. You know, there's a documentary that follows Gottmik around the country after the fucking stupid pandemic, want to die and kill everybody.
Oh, and that's interesting. She said she loves Drag Race. I wonder if that's a little Easter egg for us to chomp on. She's like, I want to stay here. I want to stay in the workroom. I like doing this.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, listen, she's super happy. But like, there's also a world where it's like, I haven't watched it. I know it's supposed to be amazing. The documentary series with Eureka and the others that go
around.
Oh,
it's incredible. You haven't seen We're Here yet?
I want to die. I have two kids. I hate this pandemic. They're always up my ass. I want to kill everybody. We're lucky I can
see
Bradley.
You could watch it with the family. It's really cute.
I know I could watch it with the family. I just can't watch anything because I've got one playing video games and the other one's doing school at home and the other one is my husband who's an actor complaining. So,
oh my God. And you're like probably doing self tapes too for each other, which is like fucking kill myself.
Well, I'm full time writing, so I'm on Zoom in a Zoom room all day, thank God. Mm-hmm. But John, you know, my bedroom is a studio. Of course. I want to die. So, but my point is that, yes, I want to watch it. But that to me, it's like there is a film or a miniseries that follows the impact that someone like Gottmik has on the trans community.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know why I'm giving this away to all of your listeners. You and I are going to pitch this. Guess
I know,
what,
we're going to pitch this.
Mono and Jamie Dembo are pitching a show where we follow Gottmik for a year.
WGA registered. Okay, great.
There it is. Ha-ha, suckers, don't fucking steal it.
Fuck all of you listening.
but that is an interesting question because the story is far from over.
Now, okay, let's talk about the lip sync, right? Well, I mean, the lip sync, we're going, okay, even just still talking about hypothetical, we're probably going to get a lip sync for the crown.
Did they speak, hang on, but about the lip sync, the four-way lip sync, we didn't even get, haven't even gotten to the fact that they didn't
No, we haven't anybody. Even gotten to that. We haven't even looked, talked about the runway.
First of all, I knew they weren't going to cut anybody and fine. You know me, I'm sensitive.
Nothing in the edit was cutting anybody.
No, nobody's getting cut. But also, so did they have to watch these fuckers do that goddamn song four full times?
That's what it looks like, which is
that's awful.
There's only so many bumping early 2000s house beats you can hear in a row. They had to listen to that for 20 minutes.
John Mulaney, the great comedian John Mulaney, has a bit in one of his albums about the time that he and his friend went to a diner and put in 21 plays of What's New Pussycat.
Oh, I'm very familiar with this incredible. What's New Pussycat? Whoa, whoa,
correct.
Whoa. The one funny, misdirect and then back to it. Yes.
Correct. And people, as they unplug the jukebox.
Yes.
So I can only imagine even just four versions. And by the way, like just the pressure of having to watch everybody, whatever. So
I'm not exactly sure what they gain from watching them all do it alone.
Nothing. They just had to do it because this is what they do. This is what it's time for the Drag Race. It's like, I mean, I'm surprised, or it's time for the lip sync. They could have done two and two, but they didn't. So, okay.
Here's the other hypothetical. I mean, in regards to the finale.
Right.
If we do lip sync for the crown.
Right.
Does Gottmik have the lip syncing skills to beat Simone?
I mean, we've seen her once, and now we've only seen her chopped up once.
Right.
I have no idea. I have. I'm going to say no, because that is what I think.
On the face of it, no.
No.
But
no.
Maybe she'll Sasha Velour us all the way down below the grave.
Well, let's hope she doesn't. What's a dead butterfly?
She doesn't age O'Hara.
Age O'Hara. I mean, here's the thing: is she? I mean, I guess. I'm wondering how much preparation, if at all, they can have.
Right.
And whether or not she can literally choreograph something for herself in terms of lip syncing that will blow us the fuck away. Because I think you're right. I think if it comes down to Simone and Gottmik, we've already, okay. So there we know. Yeah, Simone. Simone's got it.
And this
Simone's
is why,
a beautiful lip syncer.
Yes, she sure is. My conspiracy theory is that they'll knock out one of them in the first round because it would be too gut-wrenching to watch a Simone v. Gottmik lip sync in the final round.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be Candy.
I do too. I think it's. I could see it being Candy v. Simone.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, we want Simone to win.
Of course. And I just think, look, yeah. I mean, and I think Candy's going to know it the second that she gets put against. Well, whatever. I don't know what Candy knows. She wants a boat. I know she wants a boat.
She wants a boat because she wants a boat.
And that was, honestly, that was spectacular. I'll give her that. That was.
You can't write that. No. Like, speaking of writer's room, like, if you were just like, what if the character wanted a boat? Okay, why? Because?
I mean, she could have also just said what was real, which is like, that's what rich people have.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Why I want a diamond? That's what rich people have. Yes. Like, it was very endearing.
It was really fucking cute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I talk about Candy like I don't like her, but guess what? Like, there's moments.
Well, it's very funny. It's that person in your family. When you're like, oh my God, I can't fucking stand her. And then you're like, but there was this one time she was really funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
She's funny.
We all have that aunt or mother.
I made a career out of a character like that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You get it. You love to hate
to want
to need them.
Mano. Let me ask you a question. Is it short for something, for a name?
Well, yeah. It's like, Manolo. Oh, like Manolo.
Oh, Manolo, like Manolo Blahnik?
Yeah.
Is that true? Are you related?
Oh, no. That's just the first name.
Okay,
no,
Mano.
Just the first name.
It's cute. I like it. I mean, Mano. Yeah, it's a little like mono, like mononucleosis, which I don't ever want to think about.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. I would get
the
bullied.
The kissing disease.
Yeah, I've heard that
before. Is that
before
cute?
Too.
I love that.
How about your name? Beverly.
Well, oh, yeah, Beverly. Yeah, Beverly Ginsburg. Beverly. I don't know. My grandmother was a Bertha. Anyway, continue.
These characters, we need them in the show because it would suck if the top four was just four great queens.
Of course. Yeah. And I have to say, it's been a really, like, look, I have to say, I thought the season 12 finale was so fucking awesome.
I was blown away that they pulled it off.
It was like one of the first and only, it was right in that weird place in the pandemic where... Mm-hmm. We'd seen some people trying, like we'd seen the Parks and Recreation trying to do a Zoom thing mm-hmm. and like people were doing their YouTube cavalcade shit, like, mm-hmm. and nobody had really gotten it right.
Yeah.
And everything except for, and this could be controversial as well, Rue's like underpants on his face, that insane fucking mask. That I was like, okay, we get it. Your makeup artist can't come do your face because of COVID.
Yes.
But let's talk about what the other options could have been.
Let's talk. But yeah, I also thought it was fucking crazy. But I think Rue gets off on it. And I mean, that's why she's like putting fake mustaches on and toupees.
That's when I'm like, oh, Rue's an old lady man. Rue still likes to like put on a show with a finger mustache. and I'm such a Crystal Method fan. I really feel like
incredible.
I loved those three queens so much. And I thought
incredible.
They all did so well. I mean, that's the beauty of the finale is like, these are now the unforgettable queens. Like you don't walk away from a finale where you've got such strong competition and such strong competitors. They're all stars. Like I don't mean, again, I sound Pollyanna, but it's like, I don't walk away from the season going, I don't remember who was in the top four.
Totally. They're yeah. so, and they had to be there for so fucking long. Like, truly, oh, the psychological experiment of it all, which is like, you break down the fact that they've, this is the 14th episode of just delivering nonstop drag excellence, is like, God bless.
Listen,
you.
I don't know if you have been on a set.
Never. One day.
Ever. In never, your ever, life. Ever. I don't know how, I don't know how many J-O-Bs you've had, but no, I mean, during COVID, have you been on a set during COVID?
Oh, one.
Okay. So, you know, it is, you know, because I'm writing, I had to go on set as a writer producer on a show, sitting there all day long in a face shield and a mask. Mm-hmm. You cannot snack. You are super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It is a long fucking day. And mm-hmm. it's longer because of these COVID protocols. Even if you're, and by the way, like that now add drag. So these girls, and by the way, when the camera's not on, they're probably also being, you know, they're distancing and everything else. Like there's just a lot going on. Like, give them a tremendous amount of credit for being able to brave this.
Truly. Because the fact that we got an excellent season with all of the strange stuff in place is pretty, it's incredible.
I think that's what I liked about the little COVID special too, was like, it kind of was actually a little insight for people to know what people are doing in terms of putting, how to put out content, how they're
and
putting
out content. And I think my cynical self was just like, I get it. I know because I'm such an insider asshole.
Yeah, because you're here, you know, your friends who are doing it, you've been on a set, like, you know what it looks like. It's really hard. Like, I don't think people understand how much the cost, the monetary cost, and then the psychological cost and the physical discomfort that goes on to produce this content. And when you're involved in a competition that's highly physical, I mean, it's a lot. So I give them a lot of credit. Even Elliot with two T's, I give them a tremendous amount of credit.
The funniest disclaimer.
I don't know why, but he breaks my heart too.
I know. I very much enjoy Elliot, and but I've also acknowledged, like, maybe, like, there's been a few weird things that happened on the internet with Elliot, and there's just no ignoring that.
I know. She's our own worst enemy.
She is. Hey, do you want to chirp and burp the looks on the main runways?
Yes, I sure do.
And okay, so we're the only drag podcast available, but so we have decided to give the looks a, you know, like a positive or a negative based on chirping or burping. So if you enjoyed the look, you can chirp it. If you did not enjoy it so much, you can burp it. Yep. And you can qualify it however you see fit.
Yes, sir.
Great. Category is, I guess it was just be fucking good at drag. That was the category.
Oh, yeah. There were some themes that I thought were, I was like, wait a minute, what? Oh, okay. Huh? Yeah.
I'll tell you what I want them to do. Okay, we'll talk about this later. But they need to do a runway that's if you can't glove yourself. You know what I'm saying?
That is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we just put it at the Writers Guild. We just registered it. Sorry, you guys can't have it. Don't
Writers
steal
Guild.
It.
Sorry. Wait, what runway would you want to see just hypothetically? You can think about it.
Racism is for everyone.
Everyone say racism.
Okay.
Racism.
World War Too much.
Ooh. Wait, that's kind of gaggy. And I mean, it would get everyone canceled, but there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. Especially
so
like you, if you do like certain, there are certain looks that are very doable in that, I'll say.
Well, because I'm not offended by anything and especially everything that's Holocaust related, I would love to see what holocaustic, let's bring it, anything, just wonderful.
Oh my God. That's so you want to see like Frank, get your clothes.
Yes.
That's what you want to see.
Yes. I want to see like striped pajamas walking down the road. There's something very wrong with me. Yeah. Bring it.
What about the quietest runway?
Yeah.
Give us.
Wonderful. Shush. They're coming to kill you. Yeah. Don't make a noise. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's hungriest?
Okay. So we have Got Mix Spotty Doggy Dalmatian Thing. What'd you think?
Chirp.
Yeah, I think it's a chirp. I loved it. It was weird and lovely, but still really gorgeous for me.
I mean, I have to say, I agree with you. And I kind of can't believe there were, when you think about it and break it down, there were so many elements, but mm-hmm. somehow she was able to simplify them. So even the fact that it was like a poodle head and the dots and the cutouts and the, I mean, it really worked. It was pretty stunning.
Her artistry and like, being able to see like, I liked that we're seeing some flesh tone in the eye. I thought that was cool.
And she's also like almost exclusively worked in black and white and somehow continues to reinvent. It's pretty elevated. I mean,
it's fucking cool. The hair is cool. I'm glad it wasn't so costumey that it was stupid, because sometimes that happens.
She's not capable of that somehow. I don't know how. She had a giant safety pin on her head and somehow it still wasn't costumey. And I think that is just a natural gift that Gottmik has as a designer.
Yes. Here's a controversial one I'll talk about. Like Eureka's final runway. Like she had like a book in her hair. Yeah. And I'm usually here for stupid, stupid drag like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a light bulb in her head or something. And I was like, this looks like shit. Yeah. I was just like, this doesn't look good. But
yeah. But you're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, Eureka is not a tastemaker. It's different.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a chirp. Okay, work. Kendi giving us sheer-ish Daphne Scooby-Doo. Oh,
burp. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, although my daughter was like, I love her hair and her makeup. Like she looks more beautiful than usual.
Yeah.
And I agreed with her. And I think I just feel like, I mean, I love the mod looks. I think they're all great, but it just wasn't polished. Like I was surprised they liked it as much as they did.
I think they cut up the edit a little bit.
Yeah.
But like this was clearly her sheer runway look.
Yeah.
That I think she didn't do because of she was in a different group. It was different. I like the sleeves. I like the hair and makeup, but yeah, it's just like against everyone else, it's just not as good as everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It was one of the worst ones for me.
Yeah.
So to be fair to the finale, I have to burp it, I think.
Yeah.
No, I liked parts of it, but I
liked parts of it, but it was just, if you're comparing, it's a burp.
Yeah. I like the color mixtures. I was like, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Work. Rosé in this tartan thing.
Okay.
Rose, I didn't like it.
No, here's the thing. Burp. Here's the problem. First of all, I actually didn't mind the dress. I thought the dress was cool. I got it. I don't understand what the lace was doing with it.
Yeah.
Although I guess that wasn't terrible, but here was the problem. This is something Rose has a consistent problem with. Why the color of the wig was like just too orange. It wasn't a redhead. It was Ariel from fucking Little Mermaid. Like, she truly...
Ronald McDonald.
What's her face? Or from the other Disney movie with Brave. She literally... Uh-huh. I was like, what are you doing? And by the way, if you are paying tribute to your Scottish ancestry, like, I get it. Make it a muted red. Like, it was so bright and it looked like a plastic dime store.
It was from the Tina
Disney
Burner
wig.
Collection. Yeah.
Oh, poor Tina. Tina, I can't... Mm-mm,
pour
no.
one out. Rest in agony.
Goodbye, Tina. It was just like, for me, it was a burp because it was just the color of the wig was inexcusable to me.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought it looked weird. I thought it was like kind of bulky and like, I thought like the colors were like all like dark and drowning each other out in a not good way. I noticed she had black gloves and a brown belt.
Oh, no. That's
which weird. I was like, maybe this is a nod to something in Scottish culture I don't understand, but I just didn't like it.
What? In no culture is that acceptable. Absolutely.
No culture is this acceptable.
No, that was very weird. That's weird. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, I just was like, there are pieces here that don't go together. It was weird.
It was not for me. It was, it's a burp.
A burp.
And finally, Simone.
Oh.
Wow.
Chirp
fucking
city.
Wow.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
Big
that
chirp,
was like Mary big. J. Blige, like just soulful and like gorgeous and just
fucking sleeves.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. And how does she hold on to that till the end? Like that's one of those looks that's so good. How do you hold on to it?
I don't know. I don't know how they plan these looks like this. It's so much pressure and so much work. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really sort of I would love insight into how, because I know Simone's not a seamstress, so it's interesting to me how she's designed all these looks moving in that direction. I'd be curious about her thinking. One thing I really love about Simone, her proportions are always correct. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, Candy's were off. I think Rosé's are off. Like, it's almost like Rosé looks like a cutout doll all the time. But, like, but Simone, somehow, her proportions are always so stunning. And by the way, when she wore a wig that was the exact same color as what Rosé wore, it worked. That orange wig that she wore in the pocket thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a place for that brightness, but, like, somehow her taste level is so elevated compared to Rosé and Candy.
Yeah, definitely.
Is another thing, but, like, it's a taste level thing. Like, she's just
taste level's
so
crazy.
It's off the charts.
And her makeup isn't that, her makeup hasn't been that crazy different ever. She's always just kind of looked gorgeous, but it just works. She's changed up everything else, like silhouettes, hair, this hair with the jeweled
braids. I mean,
she's
got the face of an angel, so she's just one of those people that it's like, it doesn't take much. She's just beautiful. I mean, it always works.
Incredible.
It is.
And then we cried at them being babies. We get it. We've all done it. We've seen this segment. It's adorable. Thank you. Yeah. Candy as a kid, very cute.
I mean, she is looked exactly the same. I mean,
they love
like
that.
Crazy.
She really did.
I know, it was so cute.
So I guess that's it. That's all she wrote. This is the episode. Anything else you want to say, capping off season 13? Anything you didn't get to say? Wishes for the finale?
I mean, I can only hope that, like, one of the, like, the Rose, I feel like what would really make it is if the Rosé and Candy could have some sort of Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan situation. Maybe, like, fucking one of Candy's jailmates, like, comes back
incredible.
And, like, fucking smacks Rosé with a fucking crowbar.
Oh, that would be cool.
I would enjoy some kind of, like, injury in that. That would be really fun. But, I mean, the truth is, like, I'm so grateful that they were able to complete a season. And I you know, I continue to be a huge fan of the entire sport.
It's incredible. It's so fun. We're living in such a fun time that, like, drag is really being appreciated and getting more popular.
Yep.
The show gives it to us every fucking season.
Yep.
It's easy to be cynical, but we fucking love it. It's great.
Yep.
Ah, it's like, Jamie, before we go, what do you want to plug again besides?
Well, I told you.
Okay, well, remind
already,
me. Where do I get it? I forgot.
That I don't do social media, so you don't have to bother with my handles.
Okay. Well, can we buy American Princess?
American Princess can be bought for $19.99 on Amazon Prime. It's a really fun one season watch. 10 episodes. It's like, I don't want to say it's like Freaks and Geeks because that's a perfect season as well, but it is one season of delight. Mm-hmm. I am also co-executive producing a show with Katie Segal and Andy Garcia called Rebel. It is very fun.
Yes.
My mother absolutely loved it. It is based on the life of Erin Brockovich, who continues to be a legal advocate, and she's kind of a genius, and Andy Garcia is in it and he's amazing. And John Corbett, who is super hot.
Oh, I fucking love that. I mean, Katie Segal is also a queer icon.
She's spectacular.
She's
she is
incredible.
A spectacular human. She is all things awesome. And, you know, I mean, listen, I'm around. I do have handles at Jamie Denbo in Insta.
I have them.
I mean, once in a while I'll say something, you know, incredibly witty that you won't want to miss.
You got to stay.
Who knows when it'll come by?
Quarterly.
I'm around, Mono.
Okay.
I'm around.
Lovely. You're the best. If y'all like Drag Her, go give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts. Interact with us at Drag Her Podcast on the Instagram.
Do it.
You know where to fucking find us. Don't fucking act brand new. Don't be a fucking dick. Give us a review. Shit.
Yeah.
That's it. Y'all are awesome. Jamie, you're adorable. I can't wait to see you again, you slut.
Yeah, I'm gonna slut all over you.
Ooh. Till next time. Bye, queens.
Spill a bit too, throw some shade. Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.